Now, John makes a very strong case for why they need to go on searching for these Big Bang gravitational waves, but I wonder, what about LIGO's gravitational waves? Why are they so important, and why are they revolutionising physics and astronomy? Well, let's put this to our two guests who are with us this week, Martin Rees, Astronomer Royal and a member of Trinity College, Cambridge, and also Andrew Ponson, who's a cosmologist at University College London. So starting with you, Martin, why are physicists and astrophysicists so excited?
These gravitational waves are predicted by Einstein's theory, and in fact they're about the most distinctive and remarkable prediction of the theory. And what is amazing is that the observations seem to fit extremely well with the calculations. So it's a really strong vindication of Einstein's theory about 100 years after he proposed the theory.
Are there any other things that we should do in order to validate, vindicate and corroborate Einstein's predictions?
Well, we still don't know exactly what shape these black holes are and how fast they're spinning. And of course, as astrophysicists, we'd like to know how the black holes got there. What was the evolution that led to them? So there's a great deal for astrophysicists to do.
We've heard a lot of people saying these gravitational ripples arrived from a billion light years away. How do we know where those black holes were situated out in space?
The signal was detected in two detectors about 2,000 miles apart. And there was a slight time lag between the two detections, and that tells you something about the direction, because it tells you how much longer it took the waves to get from one to the other, going at the speed of light. And if we had three detectors, we could do a kind of triangulation. But I think we should realise what amazing technology this is. We're detecting this event, which happened millions of times further away than all the stars you see in the sky. And it's been detected by these instruments, even though it's a tiny jitter in the mirrors that we heard about. A very tiny effect. It's amazing technology.
1/10,000th the diameter of a proton is the catchphrase they're citing.
Phenomenal. That's right. Another way they would present this is it's like measuring the diameter of a human hair at the distance of Alpha Centauri, the nearest star. So it's amazing precision. So it's the engineers who really deserve far more credit than the theorists.
And Andrew, is it true to say then that in the past we've had some of our efforts at astronomy frustrated by light being interrupted on its course to us by stuff like dust and other materials, but these gravitational waves should pass straight through everything, so we should in theory not get them occluded by anything in their way?
Well, that's certainly true, but I think that there's an even bigger difference when you start observing the sky using gravitational waves, which is the kind of objects that you're picking up are simply things that you would never see with a traditional telescope.
So this really is a new vista?
Oh yes, and I mean even now we're talking about two black holes about 30 times each the mass of our sun merging. I mean, it's if you just stop and think about what that actually means for a second, it's actually mind-blowing.
And well, I can tell you're excited. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put this?
Well, it's a 10. It's a 10 in terms of scientific significance. In terms of my career, it's just a source of regret, really, because when I started, I had an opportunity, actually, to work on a PhD on gravitational waves. And at the time, I thought, oh, come on, I mean, these tiny things, they're never really going to be detected, are they? So I didn't, and I worked on something else. And now I look like a bit of a fool.
Martin?
No, I would put it as 9 out of 10. In a way, the primordial gravitational waves, if we could detect them, would be even more exciting. But they're very hard to detect. So that would be 10 out of 10. I would give these 9 out of 10. But because I'm an astrophysicist, I am interested not just in them as tests of Einstein's theory, but as part of the evolutionary story of how stars form, evolve and die. This is telling us about a new way in which stars end their lives.
Martin, wonderful way to finish the programme. Thank you. That was Lord Martin Rees and Andrew Ponson. Thank you also very much to our other contributors this week.